طفلة تمتطي قوس قزح. طفلة.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, where each week you will hear the Palestinian narrative, the Palestinian perspective, the Palestinian voice exploring the realities of the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian homeland. You will not hear this narrative very often in the Western media, which is why it is so important that we present it here each week on This Week in Palestine. This is your host, John Roberts. This morning we have a conversation with a remarkable Palestinian storyteller, Fida Ataya, which took place during her tour of the United States, where she is conducting workshops and speaking throughout the Northeast. Fida discovered the power of storytelling on the knee of her grandmother, and as an educator is now using it as her means of teaching and resisting. She understands the power of storytelling, and I asked her to tell her story. Well, Fida, welcome to This Week in Palestine. It's lovely to meet you. Your reputation precedes you. We've heard about you from friends here and the work that you're doing. So it's very exciting that you're here, and really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and for you to share your story with our audience. So let's begin with your story. Who are you? Where did you grow up? How did you get into theater and storytelling? And how do you see your mission in terms of the use of your talents with people in Palestine?
So I was born in Ramallah, as well as I live in a village next to Ramallah called Kafr Nama, far away from the center, 15 kilometers. I live with my parents. Mm-hmm. I grew up in this village with the nature, with the mountains, with really a little bit and a lot of playing and hiking on the ground here, up to the trees, you know, just like really real, natural childhood, yani growing up. Then, yani, I have like four brothers and three sisters, and we all ten with my parents, and I used to live in a social place in a village. We used to have some sheep, and we used to have a lot of friends coming, going, a lot of cousins, neighbors. We all used to be together, playing together, not even helping each other, working together. As well as I was really a child, then I used to learn a lot of things in the same time, which the place I was used to live in, like a lot of things going on, you know? Even you are in the village, where a really quiet place, but many things happening in the same time. I was born in 20 of February 1987. My name is Fida, and Fida name means like you give your soul for something.
Oh.
For free. So
lovely name.
Who gave me that name? My uncle. My uncle, when my mom was pregnant, he came, girl or boy? Then she said, I don't know really. And then he asked her, if she will be female, you must call her like Fida.
Ah,
and nice. She said, okay, if we want a girl, we call her Fida. And he said, no, Fidaiya should be. It means like Fidaiya, like the freedom fighter.
Ah.
We call Fidai, and Fidaiya, women freedom fighter. And as I told you, I was born 20 of February 1987, and my uncle, he became a martyr 20 of February 1988.
Oh.
In the same day.
Same day as your birthday.
Thank you. After 1 year, he passed away in the old city of Ramallah, and he became the first martyr in the old city of Ramallah in the first intifada.
Oh.
Yes. I grew up with family who lost two people, like two martyrs in the first intifada, as well as they used to be active in a popular struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with this. I used to go to the child club, to the school, kindergarten. We used to play a game I still remember. We used to pick flowers, and we brought like a black bibes, a plastic one. We roll it as a circle, and we used to have like from the huge tree trenches, and we used to roll it around with the flowers, and we used to play the game of martyrs.
Play the game of martyrs?
Yes.
Wow.
As I still remember this, I became conscious about the things I was playing when I grew up.
I know.
Then I used to play that game, as well I used to play this game, the demonstration game. Ta ta ta, ta 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 ta, like one, yeah. Two, three.
Yeah.
You know? Without conscious, things was going on, affected me as a child who was living in this quiet, beautiful, natural place in Palestine. Without conscious, that happened to me.
Mm.
As well, just in the first intifada when I was like my mom told me I was really baby, and the Israeli surrounded the house and the village. Then they start to throw the gas and the bombing, and entered the house the gas. Then I became like I could not breathe, and they took and they saved my life in the last minute because I was really baby, and the people
were suffocating.
Yes, they survived. Yeah, they saved my life in the last minute, as my mom told me. And this is nothing. Just like we are living, that's marked that we are living under the Israeli occupation.
This is normal life. This is, yeah.
This is minimum things.
Yeah.
What's happened to my family? This is maybe minimum things, small things comparing with huge things happening.
What other people?
It was in the same time in Palestine. So I grew up little by little. I went to the school in the village, and I finished the school. I was very active, playing sport, running, having many things. Then in the end, just like I went to the university to study like finance, then I recognized that it's not mine.
You went to Al-Quds University?
To Anarwa College
to
study finance. Then I changed the course. I went to study education, as I am. Like, I want to study education.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I just was wondering who I am.
Yeah.
Who I am, really, in this crazy place. One day, I remember myself at the class at the university with the professor. He was telling us about how to be in the educational system. You should be respectful, you should be nice with all, you should prepare everything, you should be like that person who the children will look forward to you, like to be with you and to be like that. In the same date of this professor who was saying that to us in this, I used to sit in the middle of the class having my pencil and writing notes, as well as I used to study, but just only from the notes I took. And that day was a strike for the schools. The children on the street.
Mm-hmm.
There is no schools anymore.
No school.
No. Okay. The professor, he's enjoying the class, and he's telling this for us. And I broke the pencil. Then because there is no sound except my pencil, they all looked at me and they start to laugh. And the teacher said, "What's wrong with you, Fidel?" I said, "What's wrong with you, my teacher? You didn't see the children on the street? They did not go to the school? What's to be respectful? What this mean to be like in this educational system, which is really, it seems fake one with this circumstances we are living in? Why you didn't discuss about that? Why you didn't make that big, huge now discussion about what's really going on in the reality? Why we should play on the sky? What's in underground is just broken? Why? I'm not going to be in your course. I'm sorry.
Mm.
I must leave right now." I left his course. I did not come back to his course. Then I was asking myself who I am, what I want from this life, to be involved with this educational fake system, or to be like fighting. I don't know, this shit occupation came to us since 70 years ago, or what, or no, to hide myself, closing my eyes, ears, and relax and live my fake normal time and life in Palestine. What shall I do? Then this moment came to my brain, the memory of my grandma. My grandma, she's blonde, as well as she could not move her leg and hand, for she had a heart attack.
So she had paralysis?
Yes. Mm-hmm. For her, because she was very sad for her only son, the Israelis kicked him outside of the country.
Oh, dear.
So she became very angry, very sad, until she became blonde, and she had the heart attack. This is very important. I used to sit on her leg.
On your lap. Yeah.
Thank you. And she used to tell a story, not only for me, for other children from from my family.
Yeah.
And I can remember until now the feeling like I'm sitting on the cloud, flying on the sky, everywhere, having the freedom from the story.
It was just transported by the story.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Which make me feel, oh yes! Maybe I want to
That's
be like grandma. I went, mama, see, this happened. I don't like what's going on. And she said, okay, I want to be like my grandma, like your mom.
Yeah.
And she said, what? What do you mean by that? I said, I want to tell stories. And she said, no, you are killing me. No, you are really kidding me. What? You are studying baccalaureus right now. And you want to be like old-fashioned women telling stories? Are you using your brain? I said, I want to tell you, mom, how much important to tell stories in Palestine. Yeah. I went outside the house. I was looking around children. Hi, child. Do you know that story, Hassan Shatter? He said, no. Do you know Ahdadun story? No. Do you know Al-Khunfusa story? No. All the children, they don't know the stories, the traditional Palestinian stories. How I can be Palestinian without knowing anything about our heritage, our traditional Palestinian stories? How I can be? Then, shway, little by little, it was crazy, because in that time, that was 10 years ago, you don't have any women, a storyteller, her profession to tell a story in Palestine. For who I am, I'm looking forward, only for my grandma, which used to tell, not in public spaces, but I'm in big challenge. How I can make like people believe me and calling for me and asking me to tell stories? And I'm not that person who's really good in speaking. I'm that person who's really good in, she's good in running and flying and playing, you know, playing around. I'm not that person, yani. What I did with myself? Why I do that? And why I did that in my life? Why I put myself in the fire? Why? Then I said, okay, you put yourself in the fire because this is the only way to be. Otherwise, you will be like following others.
Mm-hmm.
You will be like tool for others. And that means you will be like not a human being.
Mm.
So, yalla, tell stories. Okay, I will continue my education then, in baccalaureus in education. I finished it. That will help me a lot to see the education of storytelling. Then, oh yes, I must learn as much as we can from the old people. They are still alive in Palestine. I was traveling here, there, in my village, other villages, to meet that people. I was listening from them, hearing from them, just like got to know close, and we are really friends, good friends together, as we still, old Palestinians, men and women, especially women. Then I said, okay, fine. Traditional Palestinian stories, but I'm 20, 21. The traditional story is very deep. Sometimes maybe I tell something, the deep meaning which I don't know. Yes, drama in education, to study drama in education, that will help me to analyze the story.
Comes together.
Exactly. Three years of drama in education.
Mm-hmm.
I was studying, applying, even the researches I did about storytelling, you know? The three researches for the 3 years. The last one I did, the last research I wrote about, you know, I proved that the story is exactly the drama, as well as the element of the drama exactly is the element of the story. Okay, perfect. With that, I became very active in Palestine. I used to tell a lot of stories everywhere. I do remember 2009 when the Ministry of Culture called me to perform in the middle of Ramallah Old City, outdoor performance. It was like part of Heritage Day, Palestine Heritage Day. Then I looked to myself like that. It was huge, many people outside, all kinds of people. And they are waiting for something they don't know what this will be. And I said in the mic, let's welcome the storyteller who will tell us the story. And they looked, what's this? But they were not caring about me, you know. Just were talking to each other and just like outside the outdoor, yani. Then I step, before I step, I went back quickly looking to the old shop. I wanted this traditional Palestinian dress. I took it from here. I wear it quickly. I went back to the stage. Then no one looked at me even. Okay, never mind. Then I started my story. Jam, jam, yama, jam. Once, time ago. Ditchan in Kabil, ditchan. Here is store beside the store. Then little by little, I can see all the faces like then looking to this young girl, let's say young woman, telling story. That action, I did not expect that we will listen even, because we are not good in listening as Palestinians. We have a lot of things to do and we are not really good. So that make me more believe in what the things I'm doing, something really rare, you know, unique. Also people, they hearing me like that, Palestinians, and they asked me to repeat the story when I finished, just like huge things. 2008, when I went to the school to tell the story, first time when I started, the teacher said, what you are going to do? I said, I'm going to tell a story, I'm a storyteller. And she said, what? Habibti, my love, please don't do that. If you are a clown, you are welcome. If not, I'm not going to make my students lay down and sleep after your story. I will make them like active. I said, oh, why you judge me like that? Why you don't want to enter and watch the things I'm doing? I would love to invite you to be in the class and to see. Just give me like 40 minutes. And that's the things I want to ask you forever. And she said, oh, why she speaks like that? Okay, welcome. I entered. It was like for the third grade. I told them a story. It was very interactive performance. Very nice performance about a woman has no children and she found a cat. Traditional Palestinian story. And the teacher was sitting as the children were all sitting and listening, interacting. And the teacher, she became very crazy. When the ending of the performance, she came to me and she said, tell me when you would like to come back. I would love to just host you again and again and again. Just like, did not expect. I thought that you are very boring person. And just like, so, to build that skill in my body, in my soul, it was very hard. To use my body freely, just come by ears. to have that knowledge of storytelling, and a lot of stories in my body, in my brain, that's make me like travel in whole Palestine, listen to the stories from many people, old people, listening to the old stories, which really give you crazy energy when you listen to the stories. And that things, I use it on a stage. I do improvise a lot. And the people can clearly believe the stories I'm telling them. Because I do believe all the stories I just tell for the people, just because I don't lie. It's just really, that's a story, that's character. I don't act the stories because I am the storyteller, yeah. You know? And then I said, okay, fine. During that period, I decided to be a storyteller. I took like more than 25 workshops inside Palestine, outside Palestine, about storytelling. About storytelling, the traditional Palestinian stories, storytellers from France, Germany, Sweden, also Lebanon, who U.S., Britain, I was involved with everything around storytelling inside Palestine and outside Palestine. So I started to create my own performances based on my experience, okay? And which really make me more and more stronger, and because I do apply and I have that experience in the real location. Then I said, okay. Real stories. A friend of mine, she's Swedish, we used to work together, and she invited me to the Freedom Theater to lead with her drama and education project as I finished my drama and education. Then she said, and also please, can you make like a storytelling workshop for children and performances every month? I said, yes, that would be nice. Then I started that. Then I noticed that they have like a Ben River who was leading the Freedom Bus 2011. Then I got involved with the things he's doing, and he said like we are doing playback. I was very excited to know more about the playback because it was like very new in Palestine. Mm-hmm. And okay, very nice. I think he said, yes, I want to learn that because it's about real stories. About real stories, which I'm not really expert to tell. I'm expert in traditional stories, myths, and things like that, but not real stories. So I just said, "Khalas, I want to study that." Then I start to perform in the playback theater group in Palestine with the Freedom Bus, making performances, storytelling performances, also playback performances, as well as I was also teaching playback at South in Hebron Hills with Ben Rivers. That's helped me in my storytelling as a profession. It's helped me to improvise more and more and to be courage on a stage. And that's something unique to see me because I'm wearing scarf, which I came from an Islamic family. And I came from a village. It's not popular to see a female wearing scarf. Came from village. We're from family, Islamic family, and she do this kind of work. She go and sleep on the mountain, in the tent, and live in the refugee camp alone, and going to city, traveling outside Palestine. Something unique to find this in Palestine. And especially I told you about this, Yani. And thanks God, because I have supportive family, which they really supporting me, as well as I have very nice friends inside and outside Palestine, which really I believe them. And we believe each other. And all together, we can make change, really. So why I do that? I do that because without your tongue, how you can be? How we can be a story, a Palestinians without having any story. I can see Palestine land started to be disappear little by little. And now in West Bank, we are living as Palestinians on a little piece of land divided by colonies and wall. Okay? How can be Palestinians without having a story? Can we create a state then? I don't think we'll be a state without story, even a state without land. So in the same time the land disappearing, as well as the Israeli occupation is still taking the land, as water, as everything, should not the story go away. The story should stand.
Yes.
Exactly the story. Mm. And our Nakba in 1948 is proved for our energy and power of our storytelling method. I used to work with the female in Burj Barajan refugee camp in Lebanon. They are Palestinians and everything. They learn about Palestine from who? From their grandma, father, old people. They used to tell them stories about Palestine and things like that. So the storytelling is very powerful method.
For generations, that's the way education, that's how you taught. You taught through storytelling,
yeah.
You know. And it's interesting the way you talk about it now, that it's somehow been lost, that, or the value of it has been lost. And you see that, the importance of that, and that you're restoring, in a sense. You're, you know, bringing it back, but which is so important because it's been lost.
Yes, yes, about that. You only one person maybe can make change, but I'll little bit change. So about that, I went there, starting trying to extend the things I'm doing as much as I can, as I see we must make a festival for starting in Palestine with another friends in Jordan, because they started that. I used to be with them. Then it's continue with Palestine, and we did like last year a storytelling festival in Palestine with 37 storytellers from Palestine. You are not alone. I jumped when we received the application, me and my friend, and I looked, I counted, I said, no, I don't believe that. It's just like incredible.
You're not alone.
Yes, incredible. Incredible, because you see new people started to be storytellers. As they want to be storytellers, you know, as their profession. You inspire others also, you know. You open the gate for others to wear a scarf and to be on a stage in the same time. Okay? Mm-hmm. And to wear a scarf and to travel all the world, you know. You are not, no one can limit you. No one can put border for you to stop your freedom. You decide yourself how you want to be in Palestine, outside Palestine. How you want to be as Palestinian, as rooted, as you must be. Mm. Otherwise, you will be disappearing like I don't know what. You know, that allowed me to go to Sweden for the festival there, storytelling festival, Edinburgh, welcome to the French festival, and also as well to England, to the Brighton University, also to Tunisia, Carthage Theatre Festival for two times, a Jordan Hakaya Festival, so storytelling festival for like 9 years. I was participating in this festival, Algeria, the storytelling festival, as well as like Italy. I used to work with a theater reportage, Teatro di Nascosto, a hidden theater in Italy, in Volterra, with Annette Hinneman, who used to tell real stories. I am part of international group. We work all together. We make performances and improvisation everywhere, in France, Spain, on the beach, in the garden, in the street. Never mind. Work about dreams, working about real stories, about many, many things. Yani, about that, I said, okay, Palestine now. Yes, art and activism residency based on storytelling should be in Palestine. Now, 2, 3, 4. 5. Oh, I must investigate with Palestinians. No, should be many Palestinians, but it's for free. But that without, it's not paid work. What shall I do? It was very, very challenge. It's easy to tell, easy to say. I'm now saying with my body, with my soul, talking to you. But it was very hard. You just decide to don't create your own personal life, because you are taken from something else, and you must be focusing on these things because you are responsible as a Palestinian to share the story as much as you can to others Palestinians to make them learn their about their roots. Then second, to non-Palestinians, to make them learn about Palestine. And just like after years, I realized that, oh my God, what this? Who I am? I just, all my things I do for others. What about myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What about myself? No, just like make me like, I'm really tired from the things. Why I must do that?
Yeah.
Why I must be responsible about the things happening since years in Palestine? Why? I dream because one day one journalist asked me, "Oh, what is your dream?" Then I stopped. I looked. Then I stood there. To be honest, I don't know. And she said, "No, we know that your dream to be a storyteller and to tell Palestinian story as much as you can." I said, "No, who told you that's my dream? I'm sorry, that's not my dream anymore. It just wasn't even my dream. That was responsibility and decision. I decided." The dream to just sit under the tree, relaxing,
mm-hmm.
breathing, drinking water from the spring, eating from the food I plant, having little sheep, can give me milk.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't want any things in this life. I don't want to dream. I'm not a dreamer to dream to have something big. I don't like. I'm not that person who's looking to be famous, as well as I'm that person. About that, I work with really Palestinians who really have no things. I don't have a Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
even. Just a month ago, I have my card. If you look to my experience, I'm expert in storytelling. Mm-hmm. So why I'm doing that? Because the people who I'm looking for to them, they are really different. So it's just like this, yani, what we need as Palestinians in this earth. We need our land. We need to breathe, to sit, relax. As a minimum human being sitting anywhere in the world, you know, with our land.
Just want to live your life as you define it. That's
with minimum.
That's the vision.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not my
define
dream.
Define your life.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and I feel like a huge things on my shoulders, you know, with the things I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That always pushing me to do the things as much as I can without stopping. And this is, I don't have any holiday in my life, as I don't.
No holiday?
No holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a lot. Maybe mm-hmm. that's, maybe I do something bad for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in an urgent emergency situation. Every second the Israeli come and take our land. Just 3 weeks ago in my village, with my favorite place ever, I was thinking to just live in this under the tree up to the hill, up to the tree, up to the mountain, and I wasn't in the village because I used to travel everywhere in Palestine. I was in another city called Turkerim in West Bank.
Sure.
Then I surprised when I back home that the settlers, the colonists, they are up to the hill. They took the hill, the soldiers. I went with my dog. My mom said, "Where are you going to?" I said, "I'm going to hike as usual up to the mountain." And she said, "Are you crazy? You don't see the demonstration right now? You cannot hear the bombing? The shooting? Are you going to kill yourself?" I said, "No, Mama. I'm going to walk as every Friday with my dog."
It's my act of freedom. It's my, yeah.
Exactly. I went there. The Israeli soldiers did not let me just go where I go normally, up to the mountain, because they said, "This is zone military area now." They took the land. As a family, we own land there. We have papers. You know, what's this right you have as a colonists to come and take our land? They have gun, they have everything. They can make the Palestinians scared to being like to otherwise would be killed as Palestinians. Then they will say, "Oh, Palestinians, they are terrorists. They throw stones. What? That we are strong? You are taking our land like this? What this? Where's the justice?" I was looking to other Palestinians, sharing with them, being with them, being in solidarity with them about what's happening in their land. And now it's our turn. It's my turn as my village. Mm-hmm. Just 3 weeks ago. I'm not happy to be in U.S. as well as what's going on. And this politic and the government of U.S., what they are doing. And always they have new things to make us falling down and right. to make the occupation up to the sky.
Supporting the occupation,
exactly.
supporting the military in
exactly.
Israel.
Exactly. Yeah. But I can see the peaceful U.S. people population, friends I have here, which really they are really supportive for Palestine and for our mm-hmm. our issue. I don't know what we call it. Our Palestine things. Our so this is in general about me.
You used talk a bit about the Freedom Theater in Jenin and in particular playback theater and what that is and how that's used and how that is part of the resistance.
Yeah, it's everything's part of the resistance. This woman who's living in the tent in Jordan Valley with the 5 sheep without water, without electricity, without education for her children, while she's sitting there without anything, she's resisting. Otherwise, the Israeli settlers, colonists, will come and take her land.
Right.
She's resisting.
Right.
That farmer who's going every Saturday, Friday, Sunday, every day, morning early to his mountain to plant and to make the sand in good way and the stones to make his land better,
mm-hmm.
that he is resisting in Palestine. When you go and tell stories, you are resisting. And what I used to work with the Freedom, I worked with the Freedom Theater as well. We are going now I am going to be part of the new production, both skateboarding and storytelling about freedom, to be honest, about birds and freedom. Freedom Theater, I was co-leading the Freedom Bus for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
as well as I was part of the Freedom Bus for 4 years. I used to tell stories doing playback theater, and also I used to lead the tour for the group, the passengers, in whole West Bank, in Area C, as you know, in Palestine,
yeah.
in West Bank, divided the land after the agreement of Oslo agreement, Palestinian-Israeli, I'm sorry to say that, it's shit agreement, mm-hmm. and they divided A, B, C, the land, and A for Palestinians and under control Palestinians is 18%, B for Palestinians and under control both Israelis and Palestinians, and it's about 22%, and C, it's for Palestinians under control Israelis, it's about 60% from the whole West Bank. If we look 60% as Palestinians, the Israeli government did not allow to us to build houses, to have water, to be access in education, to build healthy center or a school. That means you are not allowed to be. You mm-hmm. are not allowed to be in this earth. As much as they can, they're trying to kick us out. Mm-hmm. The Freedom right. Bus used to have a Palestinians, international activist artist, students even, doctors and universities, professor. They used to all be together, traveling from north of West Bank until south of West Bank, passing the communities who's living in Area C, be in solidarity with them, living with them, hearing from them, doing a voluntary work with them, you know? Also showing them some theater, a storytelling, music, and that Freedom Bus playback theater. The playback theater, it's an interactive theater based on stories came from the teller, real audience from the audience. And we do have like four actors, one musician, one conductor. And we invite, the conductor invite one of the audience to be a teller on a stage. And he or she used to tell a story in public for all. And then the conductor asks the actors to play back the story in front of her or him in the middle of this Palestine. As well as the teller choose every time someone from the actors to be him or her.
So you're asking people in the audience who came to tell their story, and they get up and they tell their story, and then the actors improvise and play back the story that the audience participant just gave. That's playback theater.
Yes, and that's very nice method to be in solidarity with other people. I forgot the word in English. Advocacy. That's advocacy tool.
Advocacy.
Yes, advocacy tool to highlight something or to make an audience for something. Because our heroes at the playback performances was the community members.
Yeah.
The tellers.
Right.
They are the heroes in the stage. That will make other Palestinians believe them and be in solidarity with them. Second, will make the teller look at him or her story, analyze. What's this? Also reflect, also evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Third, that will be very nice educational method to learn from our experiences as Palestinians. And fourth, to build an audience for our crazy life, to be aware about what's going on through these performances. Fifth, to make that teller and others release a little bit and relax after they see themselves on the stage. They will be relaxed a little bit.
So there's real therapy. It's a release.
Yes.
And when you live under occupation, and when you live under the kind of terror that Palestinians live with every day, that becomes very important.
That's like make you proud of yourself as Palestinian under occupation, living in very tough days, hard, crazy, many things going on. You're just struggling to survive, to be.
The purpose of the occupation is to break you. And this is a way that people who are powerless in many ways, don't have the guns, they don't have the control, are able to resist by telling their stories and in a sense emboldening each other to stand against this oppression. And that's the role. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Very incredibly important.
This is the minimum, to be honest.
Yeah.
This is the minimum. We don't have anything anymore as we used to have. By years we are losing a lot of things. If there's a cutter will come and cut our tongue, that will be our ending as Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I hope there will be not any more cutters will come and cut our tongue. About that, telling stories with all kind of method is the most powerful, more than anything else. It's just most powerful form of a story of resistance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing form of resistance. Minimum.
So this is empowerment. This is what you're about. Is empowerment of people by telling their stories and by being who they are, being who you are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Being how you are is something not easy in Palestine.
And you know, we hear so often about the resistance and why the Palestinian people will stay, will grow, is because of the the power of their heritage and the power of their history and the love of the land. And there's no way you ultimately break that. And but it's so painful to see the suffering that goes on during this. It's amazing. It's amazing that that the resistance is so strong in the spirit of the people. That's what I see.
Yeah. Personally, my energy comes from underground, as like the roots of the olive tree.
Mm-hmm.
As I always, when I teach storytelling for others, I tell them this: be as an olive tree, rooted in the earth, down, then fly with your leaves far away, everywhere. Otherwise, will be a cutter. It's easy if you don't have that root, will come and catch you and just throw you here or there. Someone or something will break you easily. About that, be rooted as much as you can to be a storyteller. That will help you to stay and to survive and to just be strong as you must be with your spirit and your body and your stories, experiences, as struggle as, to be honest, we must be like faithful for our martyrs and the people who were killed in Palestine from the occupation.
That's right.
We must be faithful.
That's right.
Minimum things we are doing.
Yeah.
We must respect their blood.
That's right.
For a struggle. They were struggling. Just like they were just giving themselves like that, you know? They don't care about anything. They were just like walking. It's very easy for the occupation to kill. Very easy. Just like we are not even animals. We are less than animals. It seems that we are like a little small plastic buckets. But no. No, we are a lot of things. We are big things. We are everything, as I know. Okay. Maybe we don't know exactly the way for freedom, but see, one day I went back home after traveling. I love my family house, which have a lot of animals up to the sky. You can see a lot of birds. Then one day I back home, I looked up. I'm really happy to back home. Then I looked, then I did not find the birds. I was very angry. Where's the birds? Look around here, there, I'm behind the house. Then I found the birds in the cage. Oh my God, birds in the cage in our house. Crazy, that's incredible. That's unbelievable. Where's my mom? I just opened the door like that. My mom cooking maklouba, enjoying the smell. She saw me. Oh, Fida, you came back. Come and hug me. I said, no, Mama, I'm not going to hug you. Who put the birds on the cage? And she said, oh, my God. Oh, your brother, he did that. Where's my brother then? Your brother, he's in the work. You know that he will come after 4 hours. I said, okay. And she said, yalla, food is ready. No. I'm not going to eat from this food until I see why my brother bought that birds on the cage. The food became cold. No one ate from the food. My brother came after 4 hours. Fida, you came back, come! Why you are not standing up even? Why you are not exciting to meet me? I said, okay, Habibi, my love. Tell me, why you put the doves, birds on the cage? I know that you were in the Israeli prison. You was in the prison for 5 years. How you could do that, my brother? Put that birds on the cage. And he said, looked at me with smile. This is the only things you saw? I said, yes, this is the only thing I saw. And this is the only things I can believe how the occupation changed you. And he said, Fida, relax. You did not see the gate of that cage open and the doves, birds could not go out. They don't know their way to the freedom. This is not my fault.
So the cage door was open and the doves didn't walk out. They stayed in the cage. They could have gone out and they didn't.
Maybe we have to search to find way for our freedom.
Yeah.
in the middle of this crazy cage we are living in, or in the middle of this life.
Oh, well, Fida, thank you. Thank you for this story. Thank you for what you're doing and sharing it with us. It's amazing. I hope this is the beginning of a relationship. I hope we'll see you often and be able to talk again. There's so much to talk about, and wish you much success.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you really so much, because you are helping me and helping other Palestinians' voices to just fly everywhere and to be catched from other people who live everywhere in the world. With the things you are doing, I really appreciate so much, because that's kind of storytelling you are doing for helping us to survive. You are like holding us, just being with us, helping us to be like here, there, to make aware about Palestine. Thank you so much, John.
People need to hear your voice. I hope we can be a part of that. Oh. Thank you.
You are. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to a conversation with Fida Ataya, a Palestinian storyteller, educator, and activist. She's in the United States giving workshops, speaking, and more importantly, telling her stories. And that is our program this morning. Thank you for listening to This Week in Palestine, a weekly feature of Truth and Justice Radio. You'll find us here at 90.3 FM every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. You can also stream us live on your computer at WZBC.org. We thank you for your time, and we hope you will join us again next Sunday and every Sunday for another edition of This Week in Palestine. This is your host, John Roberts, wishing you a good morning.